This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, everybody. Jason here. Welcome to another special guest episode on the Authentic Persuasion Show. My guest today is Tyler O'Rell from Quinn Street. He has a ton of experience, a vast range of experience in the contact center industry. He's been with Quinn Street for over 9 years. And as the vice president of contact centers, he's a key player in the strategic planning, development, execution of business strategies when it comes to call centers, contact centers, everything to do with that side of the house. Super excited because, you know, I'm all about call centers, contact center sales, leadership. It's going to be fun. Tyler, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. I'm looking forward to having some discussion today.
So a little bit of insight into what that means, because it could cover a lot of things, and some companies might say different things. VP of contact center, what does that actually entail with what you focus on?
Yeah, so we have multiple contact centers within Quinn Street. I have ownership over one of those, and then responsibilities for more enterprise level items in contact center related to compliance, phone platform, some analytics related to that, and just really helping guide and support those other business units as well in that space, working with a lot of different teams within Quinn Street. On how we can, provide support for our customers and our clients and whatnot.
And what type of work are your call center, contact center agents focused on?
Yeah. So So what we're doing is we're connecting consumers who are online looking for services such as, auto insurance or personal loans or home services. And we're connecting them with the clients that we work with day to day. So we're helping them find solutions to their needs, through the phone platform and, email and SMS and, other means for them to connect in with those clients. So not every consumer goes direct into that client base, on their own. Yeah. They want, it's more of a one-stop shop. How do I find, the best rates, or how do I find the things that I need? So that's what we do. We provide that service to them and make it simple.
Makes sense. I think that's a good place to kind of start with this, because you've been in the industry, around the industry, contact centers, call centers for a while. How do you see consumers being different now, or what do they want different now than what you saw 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and beyond?
Yeah, I think especially on the phone side, Jason, consumers are definitely more savvy on their devices. Like there's a lot, making sure that they trust who's coming through, who's calling them. And that's a huge component, right? So, from a Quinn Street perspective, we spend a lot of energy on ensuring that we're fully transparent with who's calling. We make sure that when we call them, that it's at the time they requested it, or not frequently. So our goal is to let them know what it is that we're doing based on their request. But I think that's a big piece of it from a phone platform perspective. I think consumers want, just like you and I probably, we want information that we're requesting as quickly as possible, and we don't want to hassle with it. And that's what I think we're just seeing a lot more of that. There's a lot more technology in the space for customers to easily access to get to the information that they want. And especially in our space, when they're looking for a service, and they want to do it on their timeline. Right, versus when we decide. So you have to have that logic in place to do that really well. From a contact center, you can't just call whenever you want. You need to find ways to engage them when they're wanting to engage. So
how do you balance, or what are you seeing that works well with meeting that consumer, that customer, where they want to be met, right? Whether it's text, chat, email, phone call, with also getting them to move forward, right? Where it's like, sometimes it's about, okay, you say you want this, that's great, let me do everything you want, versus I know that's what you want, but I'm also know that that's not going to get you where you really want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes down to being, I think, one, respectful of, you know, the customers that are out there requesting information. So if they're wanting a phone call, or if they're wanting to speak with you about this thing, let's just, you know, product X, mm-hmm. that we're reaching out in a timely fashion, giving them everything they need. We get them on a phone call. It's not pushy. It's connecting them to where they need to go. It's helping them see the value of what we're providing. That's number one. And then not spending an enormous amount of time trying to get them on the phone. I think that's and using other media and channels to engage them, whether that is SMS or email, or things of that nature. So I'm coming back to just being able to do that, you know, customers wanting to get that information on their timeline and what they want. So the SMS, the email, that allows them to do that. The phone, that might be the exact time they want to speak. If not, we'll schedule a time for a later event. So it's really making sure we're meeting them where they are, when they want to be there, you know, and then not being that pushy salesperson on the other end of that line. That's not what we want to do.
Yeah. From that perspective, just thinking about it too, like the consumers have changed, agents, contact center reps, salespeople, you know, what do you see as like the most important thing they should be doing these days? Like if there's a leader or manager listening, or even, you know, contact center agents or salespeople listening, mm-hmm. like what do you see the best ones focused on right now when they're engaging with customers, consumers?
Oh yeah. I think the value you're providing, I think we can't let go of the value that when you're speaking to a customer and they're spending their time talking to you with about their needs, what's the value you're bringing to them? If you're just passing them through and you're not really bringing any value, that's only going to be part of it. I think it's the relationship and the conversation you're building with them on the call, the trust component. I think it starts from the immediate, like when they submit information or they're requesting information, it starts there. It's full transparent. And then all the way through that process, it's full transparency. They call you back. It's going right into your call center. It's going to your reps. They can handle it. Any rep can bring up those leads. They can handle those calls. They can see where the customer's left off, so on and so forth. I think that's where, you know, on a rep side or an agent side, where they can, it's really value in that relationship that, you know, that they have with that customer at that moment, whether it's a 2-minute phone call to provide something, or it's a long tail sales conversation that might go on for few days with back and forth conversation. I think it's really what is the value you're bringing to that customer. I think that's always going to override just providing a service.
Got it. I couldn't agree more, right? Because people can find services if they know what they want or what they need. They can just order it online or sign up.
Yeah. Right?
If they're actually engaging with someone, it's because they don't know or they're not sure and they're looking for some guidance. I see a lot of people who think their job is still just to give information. Information's out there, right? Like they need, like you said, value. Yeah, now, for what you guys focus on and what your agents are focused on is kind of in the middle, right? So you've got the individual, the consumer who's filling out form or looking for information. They're looking for that guide to help them, right? They're looking for that value. Then you have your agents in the middle who are kind of like figuring out, okay, what's the best thing? How can we help you? What do you need? Mm-hmm. And then getting them over to another company that's going to be the one that's going to help them.
Yep.
What do you see that successful companies are doing from that third piece? The ones who are either buying these leads or the ones that are receiving these, like what are they doing successful versus the ones who you might have seen come and go in the past, or the ones you won't work with where you're like, yeah, this is not going to work. Like you guys don't get it.
Yeah. You know, I think it's taking that same approach where, you know, you have a customer on the phone who's raised their hand, said, I want something. You know, whatever that is, whatever product that is. And then really taking them, providing that best experience, whether that, you know, you might be selling a product to them, but you're providing an experience in that product and you're acting on behalf of that brand, whatever that brand may be. And, you know, if it's, you know, selling auto insurance, or if it's providing you know, windows and siding or something like that, it's still an experience that has to be had for customers to, you know, if they have that sense of, you know, what am I getting from this beyond just my service? I had a great call with Tyler, you should call these people, or you should, you know, I'm switching my insurance because of that conversation. I think that's the best companies that just really, you know, take that customer experience to that next level and know that's a, not just a lead on the other end of that call, but someone who's, you know, looking for something specific in their life to help them with either saving money, doing something better, changing something about their life. That's kind of the idea. So me, generally speaking, I think that's where I think the best value comes from companies and what they're doing.
Interesting, because as you're talking about that, I'm thinking that's kind of not the full antithesis, but pretty close to just the numbers game, right? Which is, let me just talk to enough people and figure out who wants to buy.
Yeah.
You're talking instead, like how do they build value? How do they build relationships? Whether they get referrals or not, like just setting that person up with that kind of sales experience, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's inherent.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's where you're going to get so far with the numbers game. I mean, I think that's going to provide you with something, right? You're going to have value. You're going to get some level of value out of that. I don't think it's going to get you all the way to where you really want to be. Like I think it's more short-term thinking. If, you know, you can push that numbers game, but then you always just need more and more. You got to feed the beast and that from that component, right?
Yeah.
But if you're providing really great experience over time, one, you're going to have good experience at the customer level. I think your agents, your reps are going to feel very positive, very engaged in that, because that's the way of, they want us to, you know, as a company to provide that. And then on top of that, you know, everybody wins in that, you know, from that perspective.
So how do you scale that or what you're focused on? Right. Because you're dealing with people interacting with other people, right? So you have agents and then you have consumers, and both of them are human. And humans can be messy. Humans can be challenging. The consumer side, they're not sure what they want, so they need some guidance.
Yeah.
How have you found success, or what's been the keys to your success on scaling these kind of operations, which are then providing this value at scale?
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is really, you know, the way you're engaging with clients that you're working with, or you're engaging with folks that are you're working with to find consumers to speak with. It's really that you're selling yourself, selling your company, whatever, in the way that, and you're actually doing that. So you're walking the talk, right, on that, you know, from that perspective. So that you're differentiating yourself in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, from a QuinStreet perspective, you know, our goal is to provide the best products that we can to the customers that are working, that we're speaking with or engaging. And we're getting them to the clients that we work with, but doing it in a way that is, you know, above board, and making sure that we're, you know, following all the necessary rules. And, you know, there's a lot of rules that are required, you know, from a compliance perspective, Jason, I'm sure you know, but that's a big component for us. And, you know, for QuinStreet, we spend an enormous amount of time on that. You know, we have a certification from PACE and regarding to, you know, compliance, and making sure that, you know, the leads that we're speaking with are all customers that want to speak with us, right? They're not, you know, just turned over and again. And then, you know, to not be that pushy salesperson where you're just trying to, the numbers game, like you talked about, you're just not trying to push them through, right? It's providing the value. If they want that service, then great. If they don't, then, you know, thanks for the time and we'll move forward.
Because what you're talking about is the relationships balanced with the compliance, with the systems and processes, but also your agents doing what you need them to do, which is to talk to somebody and have that conversation, like you said, and build the value and the relationship. Yeah. Where's that balance, and or what systems and processes do you have in place that are still on the edge of like, okay, but we're still letting our people do what they do best, but we have to put systems and processes in place. What does that look like? Yeah. What have you found works in that? Yeah. Like, where's the, you know, fully scripted versus letting them say whatever they want, which is not compliant and dangerous, but then we need to keep them on track, but we need them to be human.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's a big balance. That's a balance for sure. Like the full scripted component, you get a lot of your one side gets handled, right? So, you know, that the intros are right. The consent statements are right. Everything is done. You can be like, okay, that's going to be really well. But the con of that is sometimes your reps sound pretty robotic. They sound like you're, you know, is that a person or not a person? I don't know with that, who I'm speaking with there. Getting off script is difficult at that point. Customers, like you said, they're messy. People are messy. We're all that way. We want to talk about, we don't go A, B, C, D. We move all around. So I think that's, so you get, there's some pros and cons there. You flip it all the way the other way where you can say what you want. I've done both of those scenarios, right? You get more flexibility. You can use your, you know, individuals can be themselves more from that perspective. But yeah, it gets a little loose sometimes. And that requires processes and systems that allow you to really track in real time how that, you know, what's going on with that customer and what that conversation is going. You spend a lot more energy, I think, managing that component. I think the balance is in there somewhere in the middle. And that is some things need to be scripted. You need to say this thing because that's just how it is. Other parts is this is the pieces you want to hit on. And here's, we're going to help you through that on screen or through training or whatnot. But if you don't say it exactly how we present it, that's fine because that's who you are. You're hired to do that job. You have a skill set. You're trained to do that. You should be able to do that however you need to. But you still need to get through these components of it. So that's really training the individuals, making sure everybody's got the right skill set. You have the right people in the seats. That's important. So the training component, the follow-up training, the constant revision about what's good, reviewing calls, checking in to see how, you know, what's going well on those calls, what's not, looking at good calls, looking at bad calls. It's a process that, and I wouldn't call it a dance, but it's a process that you have to flow through all the time that, you know, it's just, it, there's not really an end to it, right? It's just, it's constantly happening in the contact center. And if you're not doing that all the time, then you're probably missing something is my guess. It seems like it's a lot of work, and it is a lot of work, but so is not doing it and then catching it later when it's all completely sideways. That's a major problem. So
it's interesting when you call it a dance and that there's just no end to it, because I think a lot of times, especially maybe not at the top level where, you know, executives, let's say, are used to it and understand that it's kind of a moving process and or target, but closer to the front lines in organizations, a lot of times they don't understand that and don't want to change and think that there is an end, but like, okay, this is now the script, or this is now the process, or the pricing, or the thing, the CRM, like we're never going to change again. And they think that's like, there's a beginning, there's an end, and then there's a definite end. And if it ever keeps changing, then it causes some issues. Right. So how have you found, you know, over your career, obviously learning things, you know, like all of us probably the hard way and what works and what doesn't work. How do you encourage that ability for people to change, or the openness to change? I mean, is that a hiring thing? Is that an ongoing thing? Is that an expectation thing? Is that all of it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you got to start with the right people. I think that's one part of it, right? There's multiple facets of it, but you need the right people on your team with the right mindset. And if you have that, you can train anything at that point, right? You can sell widget A, or you can sell widget B, or you can service this or that. That's one part. And then having really well-defined, well-thought-out training modules and processes to help people see the value that they're bringing to the customer. And then lastly, being willing to change it, right? So if you're right on track with this is the script, this is the process that we've always used, and this is, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is don't ever bring, that's how we've always done it. To me, because I'm like, that That's a trigger for me to change whatever we're doing, right? That's because that's tells me that we haven't looked at it hard enough, because there's always room for incremental change, you know, incremental improvement. And that's really A-B testing. So whether that's a, you know, a tweak on a script or a tweak on an objection, you know, overcoming an objection or, you know, rebuttal or something, or the way we intro something, or adding a question that we might not have asked, and then looking at what the objections of that maybe are, or what kind of different customer responses those create. That's not easy to do, because a lot of our processes, you know, I'll speak from experience, a lot of the processes you put into place, you put a lot of energy and time into those processes. Even from a systems perspective, you're doing that. So look, it's like, if you're not looking at that all the time, or you don't have the mindset that it's okay to change and I can get better, then you're going to probably miss out on something. Because if you're not moving forward, you're not changing, and you're staying still, you're actually, I feel like, you're going backwards. So if you're not moving forward, you're not growing at all. So, and let's put it this way, you've got a new rep who comes on today. They have no idea what you did 2 weeks ago. You have no idea what you did 2 years ago, right? So what is going on right now is their only option. What they only know. So you might have changed something that's the best script in the world, and they look at it and go, wow, it's not very good. Right. You know, and then you change it, and you change, you know, or the vice versa, right? They're like, oh, they come in, it's like, that's a pretty good script. It's like, that's the best one you've ever done. You just really have to, focus on that part. So those pieces, people, you know, the training component and constantly changing and looking at ways to improve that. So.
Well, and I think that's always interesting too, when hire somebody who thinks they know better as well, and they come in and they're like, oh, this script here, have you tried this, this, and this? It's like, you don't understand the history yet. Like, first understand where we've been and how many iterations we've come to get here before you start wanting to mess with the recipe because you think you know better.
Yeah, right.
One part that I know that's challenging for most organizations is management and leadership, especially closer to the front lines, right? Mm-hmm. So that supervisor, that shift manager, that team lead, that, you know, the manager, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one way is to promote from within and then, you know, give them the tools. What have you found to be the right process, or what do you guys do to help invest? Like, what do you see that companies should be doing? Because a lot of times they just hire or move somebody up who was good at it, and they just think, oh, if they're good at it, they should be able to manage it well, right? But we all know, even people who know that that's not the case, they still do it that way.
Yeah, right. This might be the simplest, least course of least resistance. You know, there's a need, I need to fill that. I think there's inherently, you need to, if you're a frontline leader, you have to know what your people are going through to get to be effective. And you need some experience yourself. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to have done that specific job, but you need, a lot of times I think you do. When you get into the leader position, I think that you can move away from that a little bit more. You can maybe, promoting within is very important. I think that's a part where, because you keep the culture. So there's a lot of culture component to that. Some organizations like to, they really, that is their secret sauce, you know, so to speak. And I think that's a fair statement, because the processes you can tweak, like we talked about, but you get the right people and you train the right culture, things are going to start falling into place. And, you know, I think that's a part that you can overlook, especially if you get down that road, you know, Jason, of the numbers game, right? How do I just got to put numbers on the board. And if you ring the bell this many times a day, that's good. Hopefully you do it the right way, but if you don't, okay. But that's just not, I don't think that's sustainable. I've not seen that be sustainable. Maybe it is if the numbers are really, really large, but then you're going to kind of, I think, self-normalize in terms of how people do things. And numbers, I mean, the result of that single situation might be really large for that individual. But, you know, that gets back to hiring the right people. So if you hire the right people in, and you give them those, you give them the tools they need and the support, they're inherently going, the better people are going to kind of flush out. You're going to kind of see that cream rise to the top. But then you have to constantly reinvest in those individuals too, because what made you a really good agent doesn't always make you a really good agent leader, supervisor. What made you a great supervisor doesn't necessarily make you a great manager, and which great managers doesn't make you a great sales executive or sales management. That you have, what, you know, I like to use the term, like the phrase, what got you here isn't what's going to get you there. Right. So that's, you know, that's pretty cliche, but, when you're looking at your great rep, it doesn't mean you're a great supervisor, but sometimes it does. You just have to reinvest yourself, maybe think about ways to improve, look about ways to how you can bring value back to the people you're supporting, and invest in them as well. So I think that's a big component.
I love it. And I appreciate that balance, right? Like you said, where it's just the somebody who's a good fit for the corporate culture and a part of it, right? And they understand it. And then also investing to give them the tools, right? It's what you said about agents as well, which is, you know, hire the people who are going to be a good fit, and then you can teach them anything, right? Like you can teach them the job. You just got to hire the right people for your organization, for what you're doing, for the tools that are in place. Yep. But then invest in them, which is the part there that seems like a quick sentence to say, but it's obviously important. And where organizations don't do it, again, most of them are just on fire or dealing with lots of different things and maybe move somebody up because there's an issue and they're just like, please, hopefully you can fix this over here, manage this, because we've got to put out these other fires, or we're growing too fast. And then, you know, it just causes it to slip back down. Right. And
100%
scale. Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, I think the investment piece is huge, right? I mean, and you made a good point on the growing too fast, but at the same time, especially in our current situation in the marketplace with finding people to do jobs and things of that nature, I think contact center is probably feeling that pretty heavily as an industry. Yeah. That's when you find the right folks and you're doing that and you're creating, you have a good culture to fit, you know, then you're going to have to hire less of those people because they're going to turn over less. And that's an important component, you know, for being successful long-term, because you're investing a lot of time and energy into training, into development, whether it's for your reps or your supervisors or whatnot. And if they're feeling valued in what they do, they're going to stay and they're going to talk and they're going to be positive about where they work. You know, what do you do for a living? They're going to be like, oh gosh, I don't want to talk about this at barbecue or whatever. Like, I'm on a call or I'm a supervisor, versus like, let me tell you about what I do, or let me tell you about where I work. I love where I work. And that's a fine line too, right? It's just a really fine line in that space. So we just, as leaders, as whether it's you're in charge, whether you're in charge of a business itself, or you're in charge of a group of soups, or you're in charge of a couple agents, or you're the agent, you're leading your situation. We're all leaders in some way, shape, or form. And we all have to look out for others and help them get where they need to go, and then also develop ourselves when we need to go. And also from a company perspective, you do the same thing and do what's right for the organization. So
I love it. And I think it's a great place to stop this part one conversation, especially on the note that everyone is a leader, right? Like even the agents, salespeople, individuals, like you're a leader of both yourself and then also that prospective customer you're talking to.
Sure.
They're looking for guidance and they need someone to help them succeed, just like you might want your manager to help you succeed and give you all the tools that you can and on up. So I think that's great. So for anybody watching or listening to this, want to find out more, I know that the first place is quinstreet.com. It's quinstreet.com. It'll be in the show notes. Also, and this is how we actually connected, even though I'm familiar with QuinStreet through some other conference things and Pace, like you mentioned. But if anyone wants to connect you directly, I know that LinkedIn is a good place. So Tyler Orell, O-R-R-E-L-L, if they search for you on there, they'll find you on LinkedIn and connect. And Tyler, I appreciate you coming on here, being here, sharing this, especially in this, the part one. I'm excited to continue this, get to more of the questions that I know I have, but thank you for being here and sharing this with the audience.
Yeah, you got it, Jason. Thanks so much.
And that's it for this part of part one. Thanks everyone for tuning in. I appreciate you being part of this and taking all this information in, being part of this journey of helping shift the world from thinking sales and contact centers, a gross and a dirty word, to something that's valuable, and finding a way for you to be successful and make more money at it and feel like you're doing something valuable and actually helping your customers. Until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.